candle because it symbolizes the preparation that were preparations that were made to receive the Christ child. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ gave us his peace that the world cannot take away.
And now we light the shepherd's candle because it reminds us of good news of great joy that was intended for all mankind. Christ is our joy. His presence in us is the light of the world, and his words in us are the salt of the earth.
We light the angel's candle because it reminds us of God's love for us. Jesus shows us God's perfect love. Jesus is God's love in human form. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19.
And I'm going to talk about that love of Christ and the love of God later on in my message today. But now, we light the Christ candle. The angels rejoiced in the Son of God's birth by saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. God's life has come to us via Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now each of us has an opportunity to know God's life in us and through us. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and life abundant. Jesus, church, is our life. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. All right, now for those of you who might not have been here previously, we have a verse of the month. Are you going to join me up here, Janelle? And so during the course of this month, I caught you. During the course of this month, it's our intention to memorize these verses. So by the last Sunday of the month, we have them memorized. Yeah, sometimes it we're not successful. Let's put it that way. So if you'll join with me, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Psalm 107:8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Psalm 107:8. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Psalm 107:8. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Psalm 107:8.
Okay, say it without.
I didn't look at it. You could have borrowed it.
All right. Several announcements.
So one, we have a box in the hallway. And it's a mailbox. And in that are lots of cards for lots of people. So before you leave today, make sure you check that box and get your Christmas cards. Thank you, Charlotte. I don't know if there's anyone new out there today or not, but we'd love to have you fill this out so that you can become part of our mailing list and part of our church family. So, and also, if you have prayer requests, we'd love to have you fill this out. Put it in the offering box, which is located right by the back door. And the church group, prayer group, will pray for you. All right? And everybody said?
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Very good.
Hey, Mark. God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
Lena, do you... You can have it for as long as you like.
Now,
appreciate you. And it's been a wonderful year together, and we're looking forward to
a new year.
A new year.
Okay.
With all the new things, and all the things you do in the background that we don't even know about, we just do appreciate it. And here's a card from a few of us.
Thank you. Thank you, Lena.
Thank you, Lena.
Thank you, church.
Now, on Wednesday, some of us will be here to celebrate New Year's Eve. Now we don't celebrate the one that begins at 9 o'clock. We celebrate, well, it does in New York. So we celebrate the one that starts at 6 in the evening and ends at 9 in the evening. You know, because we're a mature audience. So you're invited to join us. Well, okay. There's a couple of us that aren't yet mature, but all right. So we welcome you to join us. It's at 6 p.m. It begins at 6 p.m., obviously. All right. Also, we want to give thanks to everyone in the church who donated to the eventual food thing that went on at the fairgrounds. 400 volunteers on Christmas Eve got together and helped sort and pack food to give to needy families in Polk County. So we want to thank you for your participation in that. Men's fraternities tomorrow night at 6:30, pastor's office. Uh-oh. When you're called to the office, you're usually in trouble. Next men's breakfast is January 3rd at 8 a.m. Ladies' Bible study begins again on January 7th at 10 a.m. in the adult classroom right here in the church. And a special thanks goes out to Mark Hollingsworth there in the back with the blue hat. We had a need for a shredder, and he found two of them and donated them for us, so we thank him for that. And that's it. Done with the announcements. Now, if you'll stand one more time, we'll sing a couple more songs.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadow dim, giving the light for those who have gone, guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of life, guiding the pilgrims through the night, over the mountains till the break of dawn, into the land of perfect day. It will give out a lovely ray. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star,
beautiful, beautiful star of Bethlehem,
star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope and grace for the redeemed, the good and the blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, Jesus is now the star divine. Brighter and brighter he will shine. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star,
beautiful, beautiful star
of Bethlehem,
star of Bethlehem,
shine upon us until the glory dawns.
us a lamp to light the way unto the Lamb, our perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
You may be seated for this last song.
This it's a thick card here. Oh my. Oh. It has a green gift inside. You guys. All right. Thank you very much. And the card says, wishing you joy in your home and peace in your world this Christmas and always. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, and it's signed by a whole lot of people. God bless you. We love you. So very thankful for you both, and many well wishes. Thank you, church. That's really kind of you. I think we got the greatest little church in town. I just love us because you guys are so great. Appreciate you. We have some people that aren't with us today because of illnesses, and so we're going to pray for them. And also, we're going to pray for a missionary family. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, this morning we want to lift up our sister Linda Harrell, who's been really sick this week and had to go to OHSU. We pray for her healing. We pray that she's better soon and that, Lord, you'd restore her. Thanks for her and Tony. Thanks for their faithfulness. We also want to pray for the Lots, who have been struggling with COVID this week. Thanks that David is pretty much over, but Elizabeth is now down with it, or vice versa. And Carolyn, their daughter, is struggling with the COVID flu as well. I pray healing for them. And Lord, others that are out of the area or just sick and we're not aware of it, I pray your blessing on them as well. And then I want to bring before you our missionary family, the Winnegars, who serve with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And they're excited to say this season they've started 792 new language groups, beginning a translation this year. And roughly 550 languages that remain to be started. They're getting so very close to translating your word into every language for every tribe and every tongue and every nation. We pray for this work that Wycliffe does, and we thank you for your word that brings life and brings us such good news. Would you bless Shannon and Lamont now and the work that they do? And then also, Lord, help us as your representatives, as your ambassadors here in Dallas. Give us attention to reaching the lost that are here, those who don't know you in Dallas. We pray for souls. We pray that you go before us, prepare souls. Grant us divine opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. Grant us just a divine appointment to meet someone new and get to know their name and develop a relationship. And I pray that through these relationships, the good news of Jesus would spread more and more. Bless this hour now in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, church. I pray you all had a very merry Christmas. Sometimes we get lost in all the gifts, decorations, parties, all the extra stuff that takes place at Christmas time, and we forget about the real focus of Christmas, which is Jesus. He was born to bring us the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love, which has been illustrated in this Advent ceremony, and he's the real reason for Christmas. At the heart of Christmas, we see the great love of God for each and every one of us. Now, let's be honest. Every Christmas, there tends to be a gift that you have to figure out how to respond to without hurting anybody's feelings. Anybody have one of those gifts this year? Kind of just a funky, odd, out of the ordinary? None? Oh, you had one? Good.
Yeah, I got a 65-inch flat-screen TV, but I wanted a 75.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, sometimes we get those really weird kind of gifts, and so we have to figure out how to express our gratitude without offending anybody. And you may want to take a few notes on this, but I got eight responses for you. Number eight is, well, 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 now there's a gift. That would work just about with anything, right? Number seven is, no, really, I didn't know there was a chia pet tie. Oh, wow, and it's a clip-on, too. Number six, you know, I always wanted one of those. Jog my memory. What do you call it? Number five, you know what? I'm going to find a special place to put this. Number four, boy, you don't see craftsmanship like that every day. Number three is kind of like it. And it's such an interesting color, too. Number two, You say that's the last one? Boy, am I glad you snapped that baby up. Number one, you shouldn't have. No, really, I mean it. You shouldn't have. So there you go. I hope you didn't need any of those responses for your gifts this Christmas. But today I want to talk about another gift. I want to talk about a gift you don't have to rehearse a response to. It's the greatest gift that has ever been given to us. And Christmas is the time in which it was presented. When God sent his son to be born, it was an expression of his unfailing and relentless love. His love is a gift that is thoughtful because it's thoughtful because it meets our greatest need, which has to do with our sinful state. And it's a gift that's priceless because, let's face it, you and I could never purchase it. Our redemption could never be purchased apart from Christ's blood. And listen, church, it's a gift that's timeless because the grace of God is never ending. And above all else, at the heart of Christmas is love. Christ coming into our hearts should result in loving others as he's loved us. Christ coming into our hearts should result in loving others as he has loved us. Isn't that the point? And that brings us to our first point. God's gift was right on time. God's gift was right on time. Now, have you ever received a gift from someone that you couldn't believe how perfect the timing was? I mean, it was like you read my mind or something happened out of the ordinary, and all of a sudden, there's this gift right when you need it. Anybody have an experience like that? Want to share? No? I remember one Christmas, we were really struggling. And right at the last minute, there's a ring on the doorbell, and I go to open the door, and there's a bunch of food on my doorstep. I was a starving Bible college student at the time, and everything we needed was in there. And the people that brought it to us said, by the way, look inside because there might be some green stuff in there. Now, to a starving Bible college student, that was like a gift from heaven. Thinking about it still almost makes me want to cry. God's timing is always perfect. Maybe it's because something you're going through or because of a need that was met. It's as if God knew you needed that gift right at that time. And the book of Galatians talks about the timing of Christmas. You wouldn't think so, but it does. And I forgot my Bible this morning, so I'm going to have to use my digital one. Turn, if you would, please, to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. My Bible's actually here. It's just in on my desk. Galatians says, but when the time set had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? To redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption as adoption to sonship. From the moment creation was broken by sin, God began to unfurl a plan to restore and to rescue all that he'd made. The Bible's an account of his divine efforts and his faithfulness, church, to do what? To reverse the effects of the fall. God, motivated by his love, partners with those who love and trust him to enact the greatest rescue plan in history. Paul wrote that when Jesus came and was born to Mary, the fullness of time had come. It was the right moment in history to send his son to make a way for the world to be restored. And we need restoration. Look at there. When I needed it. You know, there's something about the incarnated word here. Thank you, Mark. You know, he comes up with a shredder last week. Before I get home, he had that thing, went straight to Walmart and bought a couple of shredders. And now he comes up with my Bible. So thank you. That's a gift. Yeah. It was the right moment in history to send his son to make a way for the world to be restored. Because of love, God was not content to sit back and watch his creation suffer forever. He went to great lengths to be with us and make us a part of his family once again. Those two things, he made a plan to be with us, he made a way that he could be with us, and also to make us a part of his family. And that reminds me of a story I stumbled across recently of Tracy Howell in Leonard, Texas. She found a unique way of showing her husband both her love and fellowship in his daily life. On December 1, 2020, she shared the following in a Facebook post, which has since racked up hundreds of thousands of shares. She says, "Clifford and I have been married almost 41 years, and I've made his lunch," listen to that, ladies, "I've made his lunch every day since day one. On occasion, I would join him on the job site and have lunch with him, and he made the comment one day that lunch was always better when someone who loved him was there with him. When you share with someone you love, lunch is better." Soon after that, she says, "While fixing his sandwich one night, I took a bite out of it before putting it away. When he got home," and that was long before cell phones, "he commented that someone took a bite out of his sandwich. And I told him that since I couldn't join him for lunch, I took a bite so he knew I was joining him. I continue to do this frequently, unless it's tuna or pimento cheese." And he says, "I saw you join me for lunch today, and it sure was good." So Tracy wanted her husband to know she wasn't just thinking about him. She was actually joining him in his daily experiences. She was still with him. She's taking a bite out of whatever struggles or hardships he encounters. Church, it wouldn't be the same if we were just people who received a heavenly email of some sort that told us of God's love, but we never saw him. He was just way out in space in heaven someplace. He didn't come near. We wouldn't really know who the Father is without the Son, who is the exact representation, the very image of the Father made flesh. He's drawn near. That's why the angel said, "You'll name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. He came. He came to meet us exactly where we are. And he was born under the law of God in order to redeem humankind, which is under the expectations of God's law. In doing so, his perfect light met the requirements that the law demanded. You see, where we fail, Jesus is successful. Have you ever thought how God wants to use the love of Christ in you to touch someone in need in a perfectly timed kind of way? Anyone have an opportunity to do that? Charlotte and Laura and myself, and there might have been someone else here, helped out at Christmas cheer. There was like an army there down at the fairgrounds, 400 people. I knew a lot of people from the fire department, police department, other churches, and they're all working feverishly. We had to show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we're sorting food, and then we had to go shopping for food. This was interesting. You were given a card and a shopping cart, and you'd go around all these tables, and your card would say single or a small family, a large family, that sort of thing. And you roll up to these tables, and people would just put food in it, and you just kind of take it all through the whole thing. And then they would box it up at the end, put a number on it and an address, and then people would go deliver those food. It was just wonderful to be able to bring food to people, Christmas Eve. Now, we've all had opportunity, sometimes without us really even understanding, to love somebody in that perfectly timed kind of way. And if you think it's you that's doing it, think again. It's God's work in you and through you, which touches people in a way you can never imagine. That brings us to point number two. We are loved into the family of God. We are loved into the family. According to Galatians 4, the full expression of God's love is demonstrated in our spiritual adoption. We become children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. We're given all the privileges of sonship and daughtership with God as our Father. This is significant, church. Being adopted into His family is far more than just receiving salvation. The late theologian J.I. Packer wrote about this incredible expression of love that came to us at Christmas. He says, "Adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers." Think about that. The highest privilege that the gospel offers. Higher even than justification. To be right with God, the judge, is a great thing. But to be loved and cared for by God, the Father, is greater. Adoption. Now, many of us live our lives every day missing the fact that God loves us. That's why I like to remind you guys that God loves you. I think I do it every Sunday. And probably you're thinking, yeah, we heard that already. We know that already. But a lot of times we don't let that sink in. Sometimes we don't let God love us. We miss that fact. We miss the fact that we've been adopted into His family. We have a hard time loving ourselves. And in turn, we have a hard time loving others who are also valued and treasured by God. Sometimes we love us, and we're irritated with some of those that God loves. We need to remember He loves them as well. Even, Howard, those people that cut you off on the highway. Yeah. Even those people that, yeah. Yeah, some of those people, maybe some pokey people or just some irritable people. We all have them in our lives. Let me say this. You have never looked into the eyes of anyone who isn't loved by God. Amen. The next time you're tempted to be irritated with somebody, you just remember that. Look into their eyes and remember that they are loved by God. God so loved the world, and He doesn't put a category on whether they're friends with us or not. It's the world. We sometimes have a hard time loving others. And the reason this aspect of Christmas should not be missed or avoided is because it's central to us living the full lives that God wants for us. Paul tells us about all of the benefits of being in God's family and being recipients of His love in the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bible, and I do, thanks to Mark, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. And we're going to look at verses 3 to 14. Now, these are our spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Our adoption. Listen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just those words alone are amazing. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Father through Him. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Why? For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Unity in all things? Now there's a miracle. In our divided nation today, in our divided, divisive world, one day there's going to be unity in all things in Christ. He goes on, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Now let me sum it up a little bit. As a part of God's family, we're made blameless in God's sight. Verse 4. Our sins are washed away by his love. God's will and way are made known to us as a father might share with a child. Verse 9. We are chosen to receive hope and salvation. Verse 13. We are marked with a seal to ensure that we're filled with the Spirit of God and will inherit eternal life as one of God's special and precious possessions, verse 14. All of this is only made possible by the arrival of Jesus at just the right time to one day sacrificially give us his life on a cross to validate God's amazing love for who? For us. In turn, God's amazing love in you is to be expressed towards others in such a way that they might be loved into God's family. God's love working through you. This is the real result of that first Christmas. God shed abroad his love in our hearts that we might love others with his love, so that others might be able to experience that love, take that love into their hearts, and be drawn to the Savior, much like a moth is drawn toward a light or ants toward sugar, and that's what's happening in my house. They're going to be drawn. They're to be drawn by the winsome, lovely, precious love of Christ that's found in you. And it's only in you because of Christ who came into the world to redeem us. That brings us to point number 3. Love freely received is love freely given. You see, church, the reason love must be at the heart of Christmas is because if we miss this being the central message of the season, in the midst of the lights and presents, we may never receive it for ourselves. What is perhaps most tragic about this oversight is that we often give the kind of love that we perceive to be ours. We give love in the way that we perceive love. If we've not experienced the grace of God, it's difficult to offer the grace of God. If we do not know the compassion of God, it's difficult to express the compassion of God. But when we recognize the kind of love that God has for us, it becomes a way in which we treat others around us. Jesus says, freely you've received, freely give. And he's not talking about Christmas cards and gifts inside them. He's talking about his life that is to be in us and expressed through us freely. You've received his forgiveness. Freely forgive others. You've received his compassion. Freely have compassion on others. You have received his presence. Be present with others. The most famous of all passages in the Bible about love helps us understand God's feelings toward us and the way we should feel about our spouse, our children, our friends, and our neighbors. And it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So here we go. 13 amazing verses in chapter 13. This is the word of God. And Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, think of that. He's talking to a church that is so proud about their spiritual gifts. But he says, look, you guys, if I have all of these gifts, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Anybody have trouble keeping a grudge? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, love always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I played like a child. I reasoned like a child. I added the playing in there. Just wondering if you guys are tracking. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. My wife might disagree with me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. And now these three remain. Here they are, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is, you guessed it, love. The greatest is love. So why is love greater than faith? Why is love greater than hope? When Jesus returns, we don't have to walk by faith anymore, because he will have arrived. He will be with us. We don't have to trust that he'll come for us. He'll be with us. We don't have to hope anymore, because we'll see with our own eyes. We'll see him face to face. There won't be a need for hope. He is our hope. But listen, church, there will never, ever be a time in now and in eternity where love isn't appreciated and needed. The culture of heaven will be the love of Christ. There's something to look forward to. You know, we can get caught up in all kinds of things, even good things, and miss the whole point if love is not our motivating factor. Love, like we've been given from God, should cause us to be patient and kind to one another. It should cause us to avoid being envious of one another or proud. Love drives us to honor others and keep a cool head. Love is present when we avoid evil and rejoice with good. Does this sound like the love you've received from God? It is. But now, does it sound like the love you display in your life? You can take inventory in that for yourself. I think all of us could use a little more love, right? Now, the way this passage might sound during Christmas would be like this. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny ornaments, but do not have love, I'm just another decorator. If I work hard in the kitchen, baking Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not have love, I'm just another cook. If I work at a soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce and with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I've missed the point. You see, love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind even when harried and tired. Love does not envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love does not yell at the kids to get them out of the way, but is thankful that they're there to be in the way. Love does not give only to those who are able to give in return, but love rejoices in giving to those who cannot. Why? Because love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and love endures all things. Love never fails. So, toys will break, pearl necklaces will be lost, golf clubs, Howard, golf clubs will rust, but giving the gift of love will endure. So, Christmas 2025 is now in the rearview mirror, but we have a fresh new year before us in which to love others the way Christ loved us that very first Christmas. Today, I want you to see the arrival of Jesus as the ultimate gift from God. The kind of gift where the only proper response is to receive. With the reception of Christ into our hearts, he has shed his love abroad in our hearts. May that love you receive in your hearts cause you to live out every day of the year. Live it out every day of the year. Be ready to love for God at just the right time. And since you've been loved into his family, be ready to love others that they might become part of his family too. And finally, be sure to love others with the same unconditional, unquenchable love that you have been given in Christ. This is the result of Christmas in us. Now let me close with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. As we covered this book, this was our last New Testament book that we went through, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Paul was quick to note that these believers had learned this message well. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 through 13, listen. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you. Why? For you yourselves have been taught by God to do what? To love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you. Why? so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. This is the message I'm trying to bring to you. Love one another and do so more and more. Amen. Any questions, confusions, thoughts, concerns? Anything I can help with? Anything the Lord shared with you during this message that you'd like to share with others? Any affirmations? Yeah, Alan. Yeah. Alan, what you did was a great thing. And you shared the gift of love. And sometimes we can share that love and not get a thank you or anything as a result. Right? But it's not a matter of us receiving, it's a matter of us giving. And you did that, friend. Hang on to that part. Jesus gave out his love to a whole lot of people, and they nailed him to a cross for it. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See? It's not us for us to expect love in return. It's just for us, like Jesus, to give it out. Anyone else? Yeah, Becky.
Mm-hmm. And she likened that with what God did for us, sending Jesus down. He sent Jesus to get our attention. Come, children, come. It's time to eat. You know, the blessing of the food is ready. Come eat. And that really struck me.
That's a good analogy, sis. It really is. The world is so busy, they don't want to come. Come to the feast. Don't get angry with them. They just don't know any better. Father God, we want to thank you today for the great love of Christ, a love that's so high, so long, so wide, so deep. We'll never understand it. It's a love that's beyond understanding. But I pray that you help us grasp it, take hold of it, experience it, receive it into the depths of our souls, that, Lord, we might be able to just give it out, that your love might compel us to love others the way you loved us. Help us now as we enter this new year to be more loving than ever, like the Thessalonians. Teach us how to love and to love more and more as we see that great day approaching. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's...
Will you stand with us?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the
of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you, church. I love you. Thank you again, and keep spreading the love of Christ around. Have a great day and great week.